Who in here has a Bible? Say amen. Got it open, got it ready. Okay. We've been preaching through the book of Romans, and I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to mind the Lord. God kind of stepped on my toes a little bit this week, and that's good. But I've been pastor here for years, and anytime God steps on my toes, well, I think, well, maybe everybody else should have their toes stepped on. Amen. And so anyway, I'd like for you to take your Bible and turn to two places this morning. Matthew chapter 6. Turn there, Matthew chapter 6. And when you get there, I'll tell you where else to turn. And we'll just hold our place there. We're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. But just kind of, if you want to put a marker there in 1 Samuel chapter 2, we'll get to that here in a little bit. And I want you to... I don't like talking about this. It's kind of a, I don't know, kind of a personal thing with me, but I like for God's people to pray. And I need your prayers today. May not sound like a big deal to you, but trust me, it's a big deal to me. I'm standing up here this morning and I'm holding up 310 pounds and it doesn't feel good. Okay, it does not feel good, and my feet hurt, my knees hurt, my back hurts, and I've got something wrong in between my shoulder blades, right in my spine, and I have a sneaking suspicion that there's something pulling toward the front of me that's pulling on the back, and I don't like it. I've only weighed this much one time, and boy, it got me, and I went back down, and I'm like probably like everybody else. We just go up and down with our weight, okay, just up and down, and I know what it's like to sit at a dinner table and want more to eat, amen. So I need your prayers. My feet are killing me this morning, and I know why. Okay, it's too much on them. So I need your prayers. Who in here will pray for me? Say amen. Amen. You pray for my wife. She'll slap me away from the table and say, get up. Go outside and mow some grass. That'd be good for you. Amen. Thank God. Listen, I need to be in a sweat box, so I'll just go outside for a while. Sweat some of this out. Amen. There are no fat roofers, are there, Jared?
No.
No. And back when I was in construction and drywall and painting things like that, I guarantee you I didn't run up and down a 32-foot ladder with this on me all day long. I didn't do that. Okay? It was about 100 pounds ago, or close to that, that I was able to run up and down them ladders, and I can't do that anymore. So anyway. But God's been good to us. Can I hear you say amen? The reason why I weigh so much is because God's been good to us. You stop and think about that for a minute, okay? The reason why I weigh so much, and bless his heart, my son-in-law yesterday loves me so much, he made fried rabbit yesterday. Man, that was good. And I can eat a lot of fried rabbit. Amen? Amen, Antonio? Eat a lot of fried rabbit. But anyway, the reason why I weigh so much is God's been good to me. He has. He's blessed me, okay? My wife and I are not rich. We don't want to be rich. Amen. Don't want to be. Why would I trade in this for money? I wouldn't do it. But we have enough money to buy groceries. And we buy groceries. And I eat them. You'd think that everybody else in my family would be real skinny because I'm knocking them away from the table and taking all the leftovers. But anyway, God's been good to me and God's blessed me and God's given me a lot of good things and I ought to be thankful for it. Amen? Amen. I ought to be thankful for it. A lot of times we're not. Or a lot of times we think it was us that did it. And it's not us. It's not me. It's not anybody else. It's the Lord. What day is today? Sunday. How many days are there in a week? 7. What day is this one? Why are we here on the first day of the week? Why are we here today on the first day of the week? And I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that a while ago. Why are we here today on the first day of the week? We're going to find that out. I'm going to preach this sermon too. The sermon's called Seek Ye First. It's real simple. It's going to be real simple stuff that I'm giving you today. But we're here today on the first day of the week because the Bible teaches us over and over and over and over again that God is this number right here. Amen? In fact, we ought to have a God is number one Sunday, and ought to make up those big foam number one and wave them in church. It says, God is number one. Amen? Now, that's not exciting some of you. That's fine. But God is always this right here. God is first, not second, not third, not fourth, not fifth. He's always first. And I want to tell you something. God's been nice to you about it for a long time. But the truth and honesty of it is God is not going to sit in the back seat of your car. Amen? He's not going to do it. God is a jealous God. And he will not have you calling upon his name, going around telling everybody how Christian you are all the time, and then you make God sit second fiddle in your orchestra. God's not going to have that. Okay? And I'm going to preach this sermon two ways. I'm going to be real nice at first, and then I'm going to be mean about it. Because with every New Testament doctrine, there's always an Old Testament story, isn't there? And I wasn't reading the New Testament this week to get the good stories. God had me reading out of 1 Samuel, and God dealt with me with two guys in the Bible named Hophni and Phinehas. And if you don't know who they are, you're fixing to be introduced to Hophni and Phinehas. And I want to tell you something. The sad of it is that we've got more of Hophni and Phinehas in us than we like to admit and would like to recognize this morning. Okay? So let's do the good part first. All right? You want the good news or the bad news? Let's do the good news. Okay? Let's do the good news. Matthew chapter 6. Do you believe the Bible this morning? Say amen. Amen. You believe it's the Word of God, not the Word of man, not the Word of Mike Hoggard. It is the undefiled, incorruptible Word of God. The words that are on this page have been on this page for 400 years. They were on other pages even before that. God has an incorruptible, infallible line of giving everybody what he really said. Do you believe that? Say amen. There's no admixture of anything wrong inside of this Bible. Every word is in the right place, and it's right 100% of the time. That's what I believe. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, here's what the Bible says. No man can do what? Serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other. Now, I want you to think about who this other master is. We know who the real master is. It's Jesus Christ. Amen? But I want you to think about who this other master is. Okay? Who this other master is. And you might be surprised. We'll say, well, that's the devil. Well, that's part of it. But this real other master is sitting in the pew where you're sitting. It's you. You're the other master. And if there's anything, probably, I'm probably about ready to have my eyes open. But if there's anything that would characterize American Christianity, it is not the kingdom of God first. That's not how it is. It is me first. We live in a me first, me now generation. Am I preaching to you this morning? That's what characterizes American Christianity. And I would assume that just about every nation in the world knows that by now. The secret's out. We are self-serving, self-pleasing, self-oriented. And the truth of it is, whether it's in the church pew or the couch at home or at the restaurant table or whatever it is, if it doesn't satisfy us and please us, we're going to throw a big fit and a spell until we get our way. That It's how we are. We're eat up with it. We're sick with it. And all we're doing right now in this country, you know what we're doing, Leanne? You know what we're doing? We're living in this country off the wealth that was generated by the sweat and the blood and the broken backs of our forefathers 40, 50, 100 years ago. We're living off of that. My generation and down from me, get into my kids and that generation there. The reason why we got it so good in this country is because we had some people in this country at one time had some backbone and didn't mind going out doing a day's work and working and building what we have for us now. Somebody say amen. And we've got into an entitlement ideology in this country that we're entitled to everything to be right all the time for us and to have everything our way all the time. That's not how it's supposed to be. God would like to have some people that are thankful for what they've got. Can I have you hear you say amen? I wasn't singling you out, Leanne, because I think you're worse than everybody here. We're all the same. Amen? Okay? I just like to talk to everybody every now and then. Okay? So anyway, the Bible says, no man can serve two masters, for either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in what? Mammon. That is a term that we are mammals. That is the term used to describe human beings or man itself, and it has a lot to do with money. Has a lot to do with money. I'm going to give you a word called greed. That's a bad word. It ought not ever be mentioned about a born-again, Bible-believing Christian that they're greedy. Ought not ever be mentioned that. You ought not have the reputation as a church member that you're a greedy church member. Okay? You ought not ever have that. And you cannot serve Jesus Christ and the other master. You cannot do it. You're going to have to decide whose side you're going to be on. So he said in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That is, I'm telling you what, I'm preaching right now, we ought to pray. But that is in direct contradiction to everything that we're told to think in life. It's in direct contradiction. Heavenly Father, help me to preach this message. Help me to do it, Lord, in love and grace. And Lord, considering myself, Father, Lord, how you dealt with me about this. And Lord, you're still not done dealing with me. And I thank you for that, God. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that you would just let this message be a blessing. Let it open our eyes, dear God, to how wicked we really are and how good you've been to us. And to give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. So he said in verse 25 again, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall what? What you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body. We have in this country the highest standard of health care in any nation in the world. There's not a nation right now that I know of that beats us on health care. And how much does it cost to keep us going? Per person. I don't know the answer to that, but it's a ton of money. It is an exorbitant amount to keep us going and to keep us healthy. Okay? Nor yet for your body what you shall put on. It's not, think about that for a while. Not only what we're eating, but what we're putting on. Does everybody in here know the difference between poor clothes and rich clothes? Do this if you know the difference. I don't know that I could explain it, but if somebody walked in here with a rich person's clothes, wouldn't we all know it? Amen, wouldn't we all know it? And if somebody come in with poor man's clothing, would we not also know it as well? Okay? And we are vain that way. We are absolutely vain that way. He said, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? What's more important to you? Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air. And I'm going to have to undo this right here. Amen. You pray for me. He said, behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not. You know what that means? They don't plant fields. They don't raise corn. They don't raise cabbage. They don't have earthworm farms. They don't have them. Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns. That birds don't do that. Okay? Yet, your heavenly Father does what? He feeds them. Now I'm going to ask you this question this morning. Are you not more important to God than some bird flying around? Are you not more important to God than that? Of course you are. You are the special creation of God. He fashioned you in His own image. Birds don't look like God. Monkeys don't look like God. Elephants don't look like God. And dogs don't look like God. Amen? We, however, do. God made us in His own image after His likeness. And then He went. And He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. And that's what gave us our soul. Man became a living soul, the Bible says. We are the unique creation in the world. And I didn't say evolution either. We're the unique creation of God. And all the millions and billions of birds that have ever lived, not one of them did Jesus die for so they could go to heaven. Not one dog in the world did Christ shed His blood for so they could be redeemed and be in heaven. In fact, the Bible says there is no dogs in heaven. Amen. Not one of the elephants, the monkeys, the tigers, the zebras, the horses did God ever do what He's done for them. But He's done it for mankind in that He loves us and He saved us and He's had mercy on us and He wants us to live forever. And if God wants us to live forever, that means God knows how to take care of us a whole lot better than He's taking care of the birds right now. Say amen. Are you not much better than they, the Bible says. Matthew, cut the volume down just a little bit. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? How many of you can do that? Can't do it. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil, neither do they spin. You know what? They don't make, lilies do not dress themselves. You know who adorns them? God does. Amen? God's the one who did that. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I have seen a lot of artwork in my life, and I've seen some really, really good artwork, and I've seen some stupid stuff, especially stuff where they says, this is a woman in thought, and it looks like a bunch of squares tied together. That's not art, amen? But I've seen some pretty paintings, but I'll tell you what, when you're driving home at night and it's about 8:30 at night on a hot summer day and that sun starts going down and those clouds start coming up and you see that there, and I want to tell you what, God paints a better picture than any man ever has. Somebody say amen. You know what I'm trying to tell you? God can take care of you a whole lot better than you can take care of yourself. Why don't you let Him? Why don't you let Him? God can clothe you in robes of righteousness. That's a whole lot better than the garb you put on for church this morning. Somebody say amen. By the way, I'm still old-fashioned. You're not going to like me saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. This is the house of God, and I think you ought to dress up just a little bit. I'm not saying you got to put on airs and make it look like you're something you're not, but this is the house of God, and I think you ought to reverence it as the house of God and put on some halfway decent clothes when you come to church. Somebody say amen. And I'm not pointing my finger at anybody saying, well, I don't like how you look. And I don't like it. Listen, it's not up to me. But it's an attitude that we have toward the house of God. Can I hear you say amen? And I will say this just to give you the grace. I will never, ever, 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 ever judge anybody who comes to this church on how they're dressed. Never. It won't happen with this guy. I don't believe in it. The Bible preaches against it. It's in the book of James. And I don't think we ought to do it. Somebody say amen. I'm not the clothes Nazi of Bethel Church. Amen. I'm not going to come to your house and go through your drawers and say, you need to get rid of this. But anyway, and let God deal with you on that. Verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Can I ask you a question? Who in here knows the story of the Israelites coming out of Egypt, going to the Promised Land? Who in here knows that story? How long were they? How long were they in the wilderness? At least 40 years, if not plus that. And who fed them? What manufacturing facilities did they build during that time they were wandering in the wilderness? What factories did they build? None. How many cattle ranches did they establish in the wilderness? How many McDonald's restaurants did they pass by on their long journey? Zero. Who fed them? For 40 years, God fed them. I mean, literally, I'm not saying, literally, when they woke up in the morning, there was manna laying on the ground, and they had to go out and gather it up every day. Literally, God fed them every day. And when they got sick of that, God sent them quails. And they had so much quail, the Bible says, came out of their nose. They hated it. Okay? They despised it, and yet God fed them. And how many Marshall's clothing outlets did they pass, and outlet malls did they pass in the wilderness to buy new clothes? How many? How many cotton farms did they pass by? And who clothed them for 40 years in the wilderness? God did. God did a pretty good job with it too. And I need to move along here, but I'm just saying to you that God has been good to you. If you've got money in your bank account, God put it there. Did you know that God has every right to send the spoilers your way and spoil everything you've got? How many of y'all know that? And if you don't believe that, go to Joplin, spend one day over there. The wealth, and Joplin was a pretty good city, pretty good size, and they had all the big stores there, and just about anything you want, you can get it in Joplin. It's gone. Boom, just like that on a Sunday evening. Boom, it's gone. God knows how to send the spoilers in, doesn't he? If God give it to you, then God can do what with it? Take it away. And can I be honest with you? That's not a bad thing. Knowing loss is what shapes our character as human beings. Amen? Suffering loss, having loss, losing things, things that we work for, things that we had give to us, losing them makes what we get next a lot more valuable. Young people, learn that lesson. Somebody say amen. Children, learn the lesson. You're having things given to you, and that's because you have parents and people around you that love you and care about you. And there's nothing wrong with that. But don't live your life with an attitude because your parents or somebody gave you something and it wasn't good enough for you. Don't have that attitude. One of the most precious, precious stories I ever heard my grandpa preach, Mike. He wasn't a preacher. He taught me this lesson. He said when he was a child, there was 13 siblings, 11 boys, 2 girls. There you go, girls. Okay. Raised up on an old sharecropping farm in central Arkansas. When they went down the road to the town to get Christmas presents, you know what they ended up with? They went and bought, he told me this story, I have it on tape. He said they went in and got some peppermint candies and some hard candy and some sugar and flour to bake some things with. And that was Christmas. No Hot Wheels. No Barbie dolls. No Xboxes. And even in the story that he told me, when they came back, the wagon hit a bump and the box fell out of the back of the wagon and somebody else picked that up and took off with it. They lost it. So you know what they did for Christmas? Sat around and read the old story. Losing everything is not a bad thing, people. Because you'll never lose this. Amen. Amen. And God's been good to us. He has blessed us. He has benefited us. He has fed us. He has overfed us. He has clothed us. He has shielded us. He has given us health in our bodies. When I go to the hospital and I'm praying for somebody that's about to have surgery or somebody that's going through cancer, whatever it is, you know what I always pray? God bless these doctors. I love the medical knowledge that we have today. Amen. I love that. I love the pain relievers and all that stuff. But the truth of it is, if God does not do his handiwork, they're dead anyway. God is the one that's kept you alive. God gave you life, and God will take it away one of these days. That's his call. Can I hear you say amen? So you ask yourself the question, what is it that I have done to benefit myself? And the truth is, when you start benefiting yourself, that's when you're not in the kingdom of God. That's when your heart's not right. Let me get to this verse here very quickly. Look at verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, what I'm asking you this morning, I'm asking you for a big thing. I'm asking for Christians to act like Christians. I'm asking for church members to act like church members. I'm asking for people of the book to believe and live by the book. Amen? I'm asking for people who know nothing but grace of God and the forgiveness of their sins to act like people who know about grace and who know about being given things that you didn't deserve and that you didn't earn. I'm still, one of these days, going to preach a sermon on mammon, on money. And it's not going to be good. It is not going to be good. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe God will fix it. I don't know. But I'm telling you, we are sick in this nation with money. We're sick of it. I'm not saying we're sick of it. We're sick with it. Money is destroying, and the love of money is destroying this nation single-handedly. It is the root of all the evil in this country. Is not money the root of why politics is so bad in Washington and Jefferson City and Jefferson County? Is that not the reason why? You better believe it is. This is why it doesn't work anymore for the man. It just works for the big kind. I better get off that. But I'm just saying to you, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In fact, say this out loud with me, verse 33. Read it out loud with me. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you believe the King James Bible this morning? But do you believe that one verse? Believe that one verse, that the kingdom of God always comes first. Now, having said that, let's get specific. This is where Pastor Mike gets in trouble. This might be why I'm standing behind here. God gets the first things. What day of the week is this? Who gets it? How much of it? It's the first day of the week. Why would we as Christians call ourselves Christians, call ourselves born again, Bible believing, King James Bible believing Christians, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and then not give God the first day of the week? Why would we do that? Why would we do that? This is God's day. It belongs to Him. It's the first day of the week. And I think it should belong to God. I think it should. God all the time talks, and you know what? I don't even know how to preach this, but I'm just going to say it. Let God preach it to your heart. You know what God said belonged to Him? The firstborn. And I don't even know how to preach that. I mean, I've thought about that and prayed about it and tried to meditate on it and everything like that. I don't know how to preach the message on how to give the firstborn over to God. But your first child should belong to God. If you don't believe that, go back where I was in 1 Samuel. Hannah, she wanted a child so bad. And when she gave birth to that child, she kept good on her deal. When she weaned Samuel and had him going where he could kind of take care of himself, she took him to the high priest Eli and said, "Here he is, right here, he's yours." And she walked away. And now I'm going to tell you something. This Bible's right, is it not? Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and what will happen? All these things shall be added unto you. When she took Samuel to Eli the priest and gave him to him, you know what happened? All of a sudden, God opened her womb, and she had children. I think there was five of them she had after that. Three sons and two daughters. God's right, isn't he? God's right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And here again, if it's your child, you give your firstborn child over to the Lord. That belongs to the Lord right there. God will bless the rest of them. Amen? You know how we do as church members, though, as church people with our kids? We get greedy with our kids, and we want our kids to do this and do that and do everything else in the world. We want them to run off to this nice college or get this nice job and do this and that there. And I'm just saying to you, who knows but what maybe God wanted that child to preach or to teach or to be a missionary or whatever it was, and you kept them from him. And I'm just saying, as a rule, God may not be blessing your other kids because of it. I'm just saying. I don't know. I'm just saying. The firstborn belongs to the Lord. You know what else belongs to the Lord? The first fruits. What is that? Tell me what that is. Tell me what the first fruits are. Huh? First part of the day, that's pretty good. Okay? How many of you believe in that? Say amen. Let God have it before any. And God has dealt with me about that one too. I come in here in the morning, I got my coffee, and I'm sitting down, and I find myself often going through emails first before I do anything else. And that's all backwards. And God's dealt with me about that. I'm just being honest with you. Okay? What else is the first fruits?
Pay your tithes before you pay your bills.
You pay your tithes. Now, the government has done a really slick job here on us. It's called withholding tax. They're going to get their share first before anybody else does. And the government is a poor replacement for God. Can I hear you say amen? That's just the way it is. Lisa and I have learned this, and you talk to Chris and Jared, they've learned it as well, and I'm not exalting anybody in this church because I don't know who does and who doesn't, and it's none of my business. And I don't get a percentage of how much the offering increases either around here. But I'm here to tell you that the first part of your paycheck does not go to the electric company, the gas company, or especially the stupid cable bill and the internet service and everything else. The first part of your money goes right here. If you don't like that kind of preaching, that's just too bad. You go home and tell God on me. Okay? But I'm here to tell you that's not, listen, in fact, if you want to get honest about it, the whole paycheck isn't yours anyway. The whole paycheck is not yours. God, because of his love for you and his care for you, has decided to bless you with what it is that you earn. By the way, the government did not give you that money, the union hall did not give you that money, and the boss did not give you the raise. That's what God did for you. And I'm here to tell you, we've got our minds messed up in this country, and especially in American Christianity, we have our minds all messed up. I'm not even going to have time to preach the rest of this message. I have got the whole 1 Samuel chapter 2 to go through about Hophni and Phinehas. I'll have to wait on next Sunday. Be sure and come back. Because when you come back next Sunday, I'm going to teach you about the three-prong hook that they used. You won't want to miss this. Hophni and Phinehas had a three-prong hook. They were the priests of the Lord. The church guys. They were the church guys. And instead of taking what God was giving them as priests, when the people would bring in a sacrifice, they took an old three-prong hook and grab what they wanted. And next Sunday, I'm going to teach you what that three-prong hook is. You might be able to guess what it is already. But I'm here to tell you, we are like that. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The first fruits belong to God. Our firstborn belongs to God. The first day of the week belongs to God. Hopefully, the first hours of your day you would set aside and give to God. The first and best part of us should belong to God. Our soul and our spirit. God can't really do a whole lot with our flesh. Amen? He does not get glory out of our flesh. And yet that's what it seems like is being done in a lot of religious services in the world. Everybody's given God the glory that appears in their flesh. And they do all the praise and worship, and they do the dances, and they do this and that, and they try to look good, and they make an outside show. But the truth of it is, that is the last thing on God's mind is what he wants out of you. You know what he wants? He wants your soul. He wants your spirit. He wants your undivided attention. He wants your praise and your worship. He wants your honor and your glory. That's what he wants out of you. And I'm here to tell you something. If you don't give it to him now, he's going to get it one way or the other. Can I not say this about your finances as well? And I know every time a preacher opens his mouth and there's a dollar sign coming out of it. Everybody thinks, oh, he's preaching for money. Hopefully, in the 16, 17 years that I've been here, hopefully you would know that about me, that I don't care about your money. I've tried to build myself a reputation as not a money-grubbing preacher. I want to be different than the ones that are. And I'm not just talking about the ones in the charismatic movement either. I'm talking about the Baptist preachers and the Nazarene preachers and the Pentecostal preachers and everybody else that's trying to build a mega church so they can get a raise. That is the last thing on my mind. Okay? But you know what's something I learned a long time? Preacher Goff stood here behind this pulpit, Sister June. You'll probably remember this. He stood here behind this pulpit. He preached one of the best sermons I ever heard on tithing. And he said, I just know how it works. He said, if God don't get it Sunday, he'll get it Monday. He'll get it from the car repairman. He'll get it from the dentist. He'll get it from the doctor. He'll get it somehow, some way. You cannot get around God being first. It won't work. Won't work. And I'm just telling you, let's do something. Let's think backwards this week. Let's think backwards this week. See, the way we're used to thinking is, I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to accomplish this, and I've got to bring in this, and I've got to do this. And that's good to be busy. Amen. It's good to have something, you know, instead of sitting around, you know, playing video games or watching whatever on TV. But I'm just telling you, let's think backwards. God, will you give me this today? God, will you bless me with food on my table? Instead of waiting for the meal to show up to pray, pray so that the meal will show up. Maybe there's a reason why I'm preaching this morning. Maybe, just maybe. Let me ask you a question. Jim, how good's the economy in our country right now? How good is it? It's not that good. But we're still all eating pretty good, aren't we? Still going to the buffet and still going to McDonald's and still doing this and still doing that, still going on vacation. I mean, right now we're making it. Did you know that every economic forecaster out there who will be honest will tell you that we are very close to a tipping point in this nation? Gary, am I telling the truth? We're very close. We have borrowed ourselves out of existence. And I'm here to tell you that China is moving in. You like Chinese food, get ready. Something, and I haven't read the article yet, but it came across my desk this week. Something about, I don't remember if it was Iowa or Idaho or one of these two states. They have given the government of China the right to bring Chinese businesses into that state tax-free. Tax-free. Who's footing the bill now? And it's going to get worse. And we may, let's deal with reality. We can very possibly see in this nation the feasibility of us waking up one morning and everything gone. Because the government's running on borrowed money and so are the banks. And you get up tomorrow morning and you head to the bank to get your money out and they say, we ain't got it. Did you know there's not a thing in the world you can do about it? Well, mine's FDIC insured. Really? Who backed that up? Who backed that up? Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. And if they ain't got it, you ain't going to get it. And since we don't grow our own food and we don't raise our own crops and have our own pigs and chickens out in the backyard, we will be dependent on who? To feed us. Maybe there's a really great big gigantic important reason why God says seek his kingdom first. Amen. And all these things shall be added unto you. I'm asking you this week to think backwards. Think the exact opposite of how we've taught to think in this country. Think that maybe God should get the first part of my life. Maybe he could have the whole first day of the week. Maybe he should have the first fruits of my labor and my work. Just thank God you've got a job.
Yeah. Amen.
Just think about those things. Maybe God should have my firstborn child. God, he or she is yours. you do whatever it pleases you. Maybe we should do those things. And then we'll know for a fact then, we'll trust God in knowing that He will bless all of these other things. And let me say this in closing. Hophni and Phinehas, you're going to have to wait till next week, guys. You study that out in the Bible. Okay? We're going to talk about three-pronged hook next week. I talked about giving of yourself. Now, I'm not one of these that says everybody ought to be out doing everything in the church and this and that and the other. I think one of the greatest ministries that you can have for your local church is praying for your pastor and praying for your church and praying for souls to be saved. Amen? That comes with getting up in the morning and saying, God, I want to spend some time with you. God bless our church, and so that our church is for your kingdom and your glory alone. That's what I want. But part of giving yourself is that God will take what belongs to Him, and He will then begin to give you satisfaction in life. What is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life? It is all about our attempts to self-satisfy ourselves. And I can tell you that the greatest satisfaction this boy has ever had is in serving God first. And the fleshly enticements of this world and the things that come along with this world, including all the Chinese buffets I've ever been to, none of them were as good as praying with some old sinner watching them come to the Lord Jesus Christ. None of them have been that good. None of them have been as good as God sacrificing sin in my life and getting it out of my life. Nothing that I've ever had in this body has ever been as good as what God has done for me. Can I get an amen out of somebody? Let God have it. Let Him have it. He'll do you some good. And this is where our faith and our trust comes in play. Do we really trust God? And do we trust Him enough that if we were to lose everything this afternoon, would we be turning to God and saying, God, now You take over now. I don't have anything else. And when you got saved, that's what you had to do anyway. You had to let God have it. I want us to stand to our feet this morning. Alicia, I'd like for you to come. I want you to lead us in a verse of invitation, whatever God lays on your heart. But I'm going to ask you with every head bowed and every eye closed. And I want you to mean business now with the Lord this morning, okay? This is His day. This is not about you. It's about Him. This church, I want to be a good pastor and I want to help you and I want to be a good friend and I want us to do a lot of good things together. But if this church is not necessarily interested in about your felt needs or about the lust of your flesh or making you happy and satisfied all the time so you'll keep coming back. What I'm more interested in than anything is that are you serving God? Are you serving God? We can forget about all the raises and all the houses and all the new cars and all the new clothes and all the money we're going to make. We can forget about all those things if we're not serving God with our whole heart. And just maybe, and every now and then, I'm going to pray that for you. I'm going to pray, God, take everything else away from them so that they'll serve You. I've prayed that for my children. I've prayed that for myself. And I'm going to pray it for this church. God, take everything else away from them so they'll serve You. Hopefully, it shouldn't have to come to that. But this morning, in the soberness of the hour, I want you to think about what part God plays in your life. Is He first, second, third? And I would say at this point, let's just deal with overall in our life. I don't think I'm ready for the specifics yet, but overall in your life, what part does God play in your life? If He's not first, He won't stay that way for very long. So I'm going to ask you this morning, we're going to pray, and Alicia's going to play a verse of invitation. I'm going to ask you that if God's got you under conviction, now you come. If not, don't worry about it. But if God's dealing with you, don't hold back. You come. Heavenly Father, bless this invitation. Thank you, dear God, for the sermon. Thank you, Lord, for the message. And Lord, I don't know that I preached it well. I don't know that I preached it right. But Lord God, you dealt with me about this week. And I thank you for it, God. And I'm not above it. Lord, I'm not interested, God. And help me, Lord, to continue to not be interested in how I can do things around here or what I can do. God, help me to be interested about your kingdom first and your righteousness. And Lord, help these people. And Lord, if they're asking the question this morning, God, are you first, second, third? And God, if they don't like the answer, Lord, would you bring them, Lord, to the place in their life where they're ready to say, God, you're first. I'm going to give you the first day, the first fruits, the firstborn. It's all yours anyway, and I'm just going to hand it over to you and say, God, here it is. Lord, I just pray, dear God, that you'd give us grace now and bless us. And help us, dear God, we pray in Jesus' name.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept His free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His word, and God has never broken His word, God promised in His word that He would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.